My name is Simon Perry, and I'm here for the PAX People Oral History Project, and here being Ryde on the Isle of Wight on today, the 24th of June. And I'm with...
Sheila Burnett.
Now, Sheila, can you tell me the year and your place of birth?
Well, that sounds absolutely dreadful, because I was born in Regby, Warwickshire, in 1938.
OK, and the name of your mum and dad?
Well, funnily enough, my mum, pre-marriage, was a Smith, and she married a Smith. So I always was at the end of the alphabet with a very common surname, Smith.
And what did they do, your mum and dad?
My father was in control gear electronics in what was originally BTH in Regby, which was a place where 2,000 odd of people worked. And then it changed to AEI, and then it changed again. And as I say, he spent all his married life working there.
What was electrical engineering, was that?
Yes.
Okay.
He was in sales, really.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And what was early life, school life, and growing up around there like?
Well, when I started school, I can remember, because my birthday was in October, being taken along to school the first day, and there were three classes, and the first one I wasn't in, and that was a nursery where they had little beds and they went to sleep every afternoon. Then I wasn't in the next one, and then I found myself in the main school building, because obviously it was October birthday, and of course we all went in at the same year. We didn't go in at different times in the year. Very unfortunately, I seemed to develop the whooping cough, the measles and everything else. And the thing I really remember is going convalescing in Bournemouth for June the 6th, D-Day. And I can remember all the soldiers around, and suddenly they disappeared. And I can remember my mum coming back in, she'd been out that evening, climbing in the window.
Why the window?
And tell me it was D-Day and that all the soldiers had gone. I do remember that quite vividly.
Why was she climbing in the window?
Hmm?
Why climbing in the window?
I don't know. I don't know why. What she thought about. We did have, when we were in this boarding house, we did have a grand stairs, a bedroom, I must admit. I don't know if she didn't want the people in the boarding house to know she'd been out that evening. I don't know. But I always remember the climbing in the window.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, my primary school, we had drinking chocolate given us. We had to take a can along and have drinking chocolate given us. Well, suddenly, and we used to have the siren go off at midday one day a week. That went on for ages, actually. I can remember quite a bit.
That's
about the
air,
war.
Air raid warnings, was it?
Yes, but okay. It was obviously after the war.
Mm-hmm.
As I started primary school that year, that D-Day and V-Day were, and I can remember the street parties and everything. Obviously, my primary school, I was there until 11. And we had boys and girls in the class. And I can remember, as we got nearer the top age group, our ability was taken into consideration. And we were sat boys down one side, girls down the other. And you had to sit in your ability range.
Oh, within the class?
In the class.
Okay.
And I used to have to add up the register for the teacher at the end of term. And we had one poor girl in the class who sat at the back. And I can remember being asked to help her do her arithmetic with matchsticks.
Why matchsticks and not pens and paper?
Because I think she needed to see visually that you could actually count the bits.
Right.
I often wonder what happened to her. Sport-wise, was the only time I did athletics, because we didn't do that. We weren't allowed to do that in a girls' grammar school. headmistress didn't think, thought it was a bit unladylike, I think.
Okay.
And I actually ran for my town and my county in a sprint.
So you've always been, because you were saying earlier that you were teaching sports later.
Yeah.
So you've always been...
And yet I never intended going through that as my career. That's funny how life turns out.
How did that happen then?
Well, when I was in a grammar school in the sixth form, I was very interested in science. So I wanted to do research. And I started off with A-level subjects, biology, chemistry. I did have maths thrown in, A-level maths and physics. And during that first year in the sixth form, we had the biology teacher went off seriously ill and never returned. The chemistry teacher got the sack because she couldn't keep discipline. So four of us were left with hardly any A-levels, no teacher to take us. And it meant either repeating a year and doing 3 years in sixth form. And it was suggested that I went into PE by the staff.
Because you'd shown abilities in that already?
Yes, I mean, I was in all the teams and everything. Some of the teachers, of course, washed their hands on me as soon as they realised that I wasn't being an academic. In those days, you didn't do work experience, like taking a year out. So I just picked up on a whole lot of... Well, basically, we did a two-year physics course for we were doing O-levels in those days. So I did that with the A-level students and took an O-level in it. I picked up A-level art. And I think I did history. Because we were very, very limited in those days as to the number of O-levels you could take. Not like children have had over many years now. So...
And it was the switching to the teaching that brought you to the island, was it?
Sorry?
It was the switching to doing the teaching that then brought you to the island.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but not through me. My husband was a teacher.
Okay.
And from when we married, it was basically wherever he went for a job, then they found out I was a teacher.
Right.
And PE has always been a subject where they're always very pleased to take you on, because when you've got a PE teacher absent, who likes to go out and take PE?
It's okay on a day like this when it's sunny, I would have thought, but not...
Oh, well, but I'd be all right, yes, but a lot of the staff wouldn't want to do it.
Okay.
They're not that orientated. So that's why I've always been very lucky. I haven't looked for a job.
It's found you.
It's found me.
Right. Mm. So which year did you move to the island then?
1977.
Okay.
We celebrated the Queen's Jubilee in our village where we were on the mainland. And then about 2 weeks later, we moved down to the Isle of Wight. That was my husband's job.
And how was the island in 1977?
Very laid back, indeed. My parents had retired to the island. And I can remember them saying, oh, we tried to get such and such a carpet. And we've been with bare boards for so many months because you can't set the island on fire.
What do you mean? Can't get stuff done, you mean?
Yeah, because right. At the time they'd tried to find, you know, wherever they'd chosen something, and they when they'd been in the shop, oh, we have to order that from the mainland, and, you know.
Right.
That's quite funny, really.
3 or 4 weeks
and
later.
And then we noticed very, very much that the holiday makers in the summer... A few coaches coming down after the summer with my husband saying, OAPs, and just look at them. It's all the women getting off, and there are very few men. And if there are any men amongst them, they're all short.
Right.
What's that? As if to say age and health
okay.
and everything, you know, the widows.
Right.
I wish you to say that.
Right.
But then you would notice in the from then on, the island was terribly quiet.
After the summer.
Very, very, very noticeable, the amount of traffic, the drop, very much.
Much more than these days.
Oh, these days you don't notice it at all.
Because it's always busy.
Always.
Yeah. So that's rather than more or less people coming to the island, it's just general traffic levels are
higher. I mean, obviously we do get holiday makers coming all at times and people with second homes and because of we have to push it back to the buses, don't we? Lack of buses, services, therefore everybody has to have a car because how do you get from one village to another or go to wherever you want? So you have to have a car. So that immediately puts more and more traffic on the road.
So did you move to ride straight away?
No. The house we wanted, we had to wait for. So I was in Bonchurch for a few months. And then we moved to the Undercliff with the house we actually bought, which was in St Lawrence Undercliff near the glassworks. There it was. I think they're still there now. We lived there for quite a long time. And then we moved to...
That's a lovely part of the world, St
Lawrence. Alverston.
Right.
But not actually in the village. We were out on the back of the hill overlooking Sandown Airport. And we were there 20 years. And that was in the middle of nowhere, really. And we had land and we had horses and...
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So when did you first start noticing Elizabeth Pax or Pax and Culliford?
Well,
or
probably right from the very beginning because we did move around shopping. We didn't just shop in Ventnor. Well, we had the dentist in Ventnor, we had the hairdressers in Ventnor. Yeah, we tended to go in to ride quite a bit. And of course, as soon as we got to Alverston, we do ride quite a lot. As I say, we went into Pax often when it's next door to Fowler's.
That's the one where French Franks is now.
That's where French Franks is, yes.
So that they had the whole of that building, didn't they?
Yes, yes,
so
upstairs as well.
So did you explore the different floors?
Yes, oh yes. And then, of course, they moved over the road. And downstairs they had daywear.
In Cross
Street.
Knitwear.
Mm-hmm. And then upstairs they had this complete big bridal suite. And then they had another area which was much more dressy, cocktail dresses, etc. And then they had the cafe, which we used a lot.
Mm-hmm. So when they all... Do you remember your first time into, I guess it was Pack and Culliford's at that time?
Not particularly, no. I know that if I wanted something dressy, I would obviously go there. And, of course, I'd already met Molly, and she was working in the other shop across the road. Mm-hmm. So I used to go in and see her and we'd
That's Molly Salmon, is it?
Molly Salmon, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I used to go and have a chat with her and see what I needed because in those days where I was dancing with the Caledonian Society, if you went to certain of the do's, you needed something quite dressy.
Right. So that was...
Lots of us used packs.
That was events on the island?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Rather than on the mainland.
Yeah.
So I guess also, I mean, I'm just thinking through that... Two people turning up with the same outfit, the same do.
We haven't quite had that, no.
The staff probably sort of had a mental picture of, well, those people are going to this event, so we won't sell them the same thing.
Yeah, I can say, I think, because Molly we knew because of Scottish dancing. So I think she sort of kept an eye on us all.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd say, I've just got just the thing that'll suit you. Go and find it and sort of say, how about this?
I mean, I think that's one really interesting part of that shopping experience is the people in the shop knowing you and knowing what would suit you,
yes.
and which something doesn't, I can't imagine that, apart from maybe something like, what's the Velvet Pig, or somewhere where it's a small shop, they know the people that come in, but you can't imagine that really in any other shopping.
Nowadays, there's very little places to shop on the Isle of Wight. I mean, basically, if you're going to shop personally to want to see things, it's basically supermarkets and then one or two little shops, and stock-wise. But, yeah, I do have one place I go to where she'll say, oh, we glad you come in, you can go and try such and such on.
Oh, still, you're getting that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
So she get me to parade around, isn't it?
Yeah. So the thinking back to, you don't remember the first time, which would be Pack and Colourfoods, I guess.
No, that would be right back, obviously, probably when we first came on the island, because we did shop around. Okay. I mean, like, we used to go to Cowes for certain shops. We tended, if we were wanting to buy a certain thing, we knew which town we wanted to go to.
Okay.
And we weren't limited by just shopping in one area.
Mm-hmm. And so walking through, what was that? What was on the ground floor of Pack and Colourfoods? Is that where the children's department was?
Yes, they had some things, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't honestly remember very much about that because my daughter obviously was too big for all that by then. I mean,
I guess you just whizzed through that part that you want
Yes.
So what was your destination floor and location then?
Well, I'd start off on the ground floor and I might be looking at twin sets as we had in those days.
So that was accessories, that sort of stuff?
Yes, and then obviously things like tops and skirts and things like that, jackets. And then I'd go upstairs because one at French Franks, but the other one, she had the big wide staircase and she would have a model halfway up the stairs wearing some outfit, and it was nearly always a cocktail or full evening dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd get up to the top of there where you would then go into, and I would always go through all the tops, all the dresses, and see if there was anything I wanted.
And they were hanging on hangers or folded?
Basically on hangers, yes. Yes.
And presented I'm just trying to sort of think between what the shopping experience is like now and what it used to be like.
Oh, yes. I mean, the bridal suite was in a big room off to the left when you got top of the stairs. And they were all had covers over them and whatever, although we had one or two on display.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got to the top of the stairs, there would be the very posh hats and things like that. One or two outfits. And then you go into the next piece. And, I think she had underwear as well.
Okay.
Lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
And tops, blouses and things, and evening dresses, short, long, whatever. And then you go on round a few couple of palm trees, I have seen to remember, into the cafe.
The Coffee Bean, is that?
Coffee Bean,
right.
That's right.
Right.
And we nearly always ended up there on a Saturday morning, coffee.
And who would we be?
My husband.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we see one or two other people that we always knew that were in there. And obviously the people behind the served us, they knew us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's quite a social hub.
It was really, in many ways, yes. Yes, I was always taken aback by, there was one lady that served us coffee, and she knew what the word smidgen. And I thought, I hadn't heard that for years, because my dad used to use the word smidgen.
Right. Yeah, that was for the milk serving.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's have a think about and explore the social side of the Coffee Bean then.
Yeah.
That we had heard at different times, they had sort of things, people, models sort of going through wearing fur coats.
Oh, they actually had models, I remember now, yes. They used, somebody come along with an outfit on and look at us and whatever. And I remember the first time I thought it was some posh lady that's come, and I suddenly realised that yes, they were actually dressing up, and yeah.
So equivalent of moving mannequins.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And so would there be someone announcing what the outfit was, or
no,
they just?
No, not when I was there. No, it was the lady dressed would come around and have a chat with you about the outfit and everything.
Oh, she would explain what
yes,
she had on.
Yeah.
Okay, but only if you asked. Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. That first time, we're just thinking, what's going on? So that's a quite smart marketing move, isn't it?
Yes, and we used to see, of course, Elizabeth Pack around a lot. And she always had time of day to stop and talk to you.
What was your impression of her?
I was very taken with the fact that she was around and would talk to you. And she might ask you what you're there for, not particularly. So in other words, she's not pushing sales. And then she said, well, you might like to look at such and such. It was more that you asked her a question, and then rather than pushing, which was very nice.
I guess that's the process of you when you walked in the shop. How much there's a sort of almost a sixth sense that people who work there maybe had of knowing whether you just wanted to have a look by yourself.
I mean, they might very well say good morning to you, you know, whatever. But they wouldn't come up immediately and ask you what you wanted, which left you to browse, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
If they saw you getting quite interested in looking at a certain group of things, they then come up and ask you if you hadn't already spoken to them. You know, can I help you? Thing. So, like I say, it was very laid back, but always somebody there. And you didn't feel you were being harassed in any way.
Right, assistance was at hand, but not yes. hassle, right.
Yeah.
What we've heard is people being referred to as either Miss X or Mrs. X. There was sort of no first names there.
Well, I suppose the fact I knew Molly, because sometimes she was downstairs working and she'd see me when I'd go in, and we'd always had a chat anyway. And then she knew I'd say what I'd come in for, if there was any particular thing I'd come in for, and help me. And then sometimes she was up in the dress department. But I think they probably were addressed by their miss or missus.
And so would that be where you would go for, I can't think of fancy, you know, a fancy clothes, or it'd be everyday clothes, or there'd be a mixture?
Well, you knew immediately that you would go there if you wanted something for a special occasion. Because Fowler's by then had closed down, and of course that had been quite a big store, and that had been what you call in the old days a real good store, where you've got a bit of everything, you know, from materials and whatever, as well as clothing and everything. We just don't sort of see those sort of types of places anymore, do we? Well, not on the island anyway. But you would go there anyway, packs, and all the stuff, some of the very well-known names of clothing in those days, that she would be stocking.
From packs?
From packs, yeah.
I guess that's another important part, is the person who's doing the buying having the eye of what their
yes.
customers will want.
And then she wouldn't buy too many of anything. So, yes, you get the different sizes of something, but there wouldn't be a tremendous number of... I can't really remember ever seeing probably blouses, for example, there might be three or four of the same style because they're all different sizes. But obviously evening dresses, she wouldn't have done that. They'd all be very individual. So although she got the different sizes and different group of evening dresses within the size, but you'd be lucky if you found more than two looking anything like.
So not like M&S where there's endless racks of the same stuff.
Sorry?
Nothing like M&S where there's endless racks of the same stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look at the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Which is what we have to put up with now, an M&S. Well, the dress shop that I happen to use happens to be at Busy Bee.
Right.
As they've got a franchise there.
Right.
Class. And Anna Rose.
And so the experience of shopping at PAX, if you're using different types of shops, I guess you may notice that different of experience, but if that's how all of your shopping is, then that just is how it is. You don't think, oh, this is an interesting experience.
No.
Just you're doing your stuff.
Yes. I mean, when I used to go to Southampton, particularly, then we used to go over there to shop, and then there was the big stores there, like Fowler's, but twice the size, you know, things like that. And, of course, they've all gone, basically.
How did the shops in Southampton compare with, at the same time, compare with, say, Peck and Culliford's?
Very often I came back with nothing. Which now leads me on to the next thing, my daughter's wedding dress.
Oh, no, definitely want to explore that, yeah.
That was 1988. And we looked for the wedding dress. My daughter says, you have it in your loft.
This is her wanting your wedding dress.
This is my daughter's wedding dress from 1988.
Yeah.
And it came from PAX. Because this is where, when I was saying we shop on the mainland and probably came back with very little and found something on the island. This is exactly what happened to her. Off she went with her friend. We must go to Southampton. No, we didn't find anything. We're going to Bournemouth. No, we didn't really find anything. Yes, there were dresses that were at the exorbitant price, but even then, were they any better design as what she wanted? She couldn't find it. And she had refused to go to PAX. That was Ireland, wasn't it? And I had a little chat with Molly. And we looked at some wedding dresses. It was unknown to my daughter. We looked at some wedding dresses, and I said, oh, I do like that. And it was slightly off-white, and it was very Edwardian. And I said, oh, I like that. So anyway, I got my daughter to go in with me, and she looked at some other wedding dresses. And Molly said, well, I have got a couple of others, but I don't know whether you'll be interested. And brought this one out. Oh, I like that, says my daughter. Tries it on. Oh, this is what I'm going to have.
Wow.
So, obviously, it went from there. What was so nice was Mrs. Pack got involved. And in the end, my daughter got everything from Pack's. The veil, everything. Then it came to my outfit, Mum's outfit. And Mrs. Pack got involved here. And I tried one dress on. And what was so amazing was it's a very, very similar style as my going away dress when I got married. So, of course, I was thinking, oh, I have to do that. And tried the two different sizes on, and she says, no. She said, I'm going to put you in that. And of course, she has her dressmaker altering things, which is absolutely wonderful. They altered the dress to fit me exactly how she wanted it. But in the process of saying, well, do you like it like that? She said, well, how about wearing this sort of necklace and these shoes? And a hat, provided me with everything. And what do you think? And I said, oh, well, yes, yes, you're like. So, and then, of course, I did buy a hat from there. shoes, no. I got shoes at the old...
You got shoes at what? You got shoes somewhere else, did he say?
Oh, I'd already got them at home, okay. Yeah, they were heels, obviously. And my jewellery I got. And it was a dress and coat, actually. And my daughter went for several fittings, because obviously they say brides lose weight during the time. And she had to have her dress taken in. Mrs. Pack comes along, this is about a week before, again, when she went to make sure she got a final fitting, everything's okay. Yeah, she said, am I quite like that? And we will deliver it the night before. So it was all beautifully ironed, everything absolutely superb. And a little blue bow had been attached to the back of the dress. So she'd got something old, something new. She hadn't got borrowed from Pat, she got blue.
Yeah.
So, yes, she was very fortunate indeed. It was so lovely the way they looked after us. And I can remember the wrapping of anything, not only a wedding dress, but they put down a big sheet on the floor. And it was all wrapped in that and done, as well as tissues and everything. And everything was delivered to our house the evening before. We took the dress out. We couldn't believe it. It was absolutely wonderful. Just hung it up. And I was talking to a friend of mine whose daughter got married on the same day and bought her dress somewhere on the mainland. And they spent hours ironing it. So she says, how did you get on? I said, well, pardon, we didn't know it. Mrs. Pack had done everything. But she had overseen it. She'd actually come along and made sure that my daughter had tried this, had tried that, and everything, which was absolutely lovely. I don't know whether you would get that service today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you saying the dress turning up the day before...
Mm.
That seems like a really close to it. But I guess if you knew them and they were reliable,
well, yes,
you're not concerned
this is
about
it.
Will
I mean,
it turn
there was
up?
Just no way did I doubt. You know, well, she had the conversation, Mrs. Pack did with us, and it was personally delivered. So, we, as I say, it was all there.
So that, I mean, the whole experience from beginning to end sounds
ideal. It was absolutely
ideal.
Wonderful. Yeah. I couldn't have asked for anything better. And I mean, what was so amazing, when we had the alterations done, which of course mine had the most alterations done, it's almost as if, well, that's the service we offer you. There's hardly any, I mean, cost-wise, I couldn't get over it. It was so...
Reasonably priced?
Very reasonably priced indeed.
Right.
And it was almost a case of, you know, nothing was too much trouble.
And that was reasonably priced for the wedding dress as well as your outfit?
Yeah.
Right. I just assumed there would be a high price tag coming with that.
Mm. Well, as I say, I did look for the dress, as I say. My daughter said, well, it's up in your loft. And I thought, well, it was in the other house, but I don't know. And I got my grandson to go up there last night. And he said, oh, you've got all these black bags up here. He said, so we had to open them to see in case it was in there. And he said, I think you ought to have these out the loft. So the landing at the moment is covered in bags that have disintegrated.
Oh, goodness.
And things I never knew that I got up in the loft. So I've got another job now, having looked for a wedding dress.
Oh, I'm sorry to cause that disruption.
You've done me a good service.
Uh-huh.
Has to be done sometime.
But no wedding dress?
No wedding dress.
So maybe in the last house or...
It's not... Yeah, okay. So I know it did come to us eventually when she was moving house. Because, like all families these days, you never get rid of your children, do you?
Right, stuff hangs around. Yeah, yeah.
They're always back for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And I know when she moved out of this one particular house, a lot of the furniture came in my garage and along part of the house, and boxes of stuff. And I assume that's when the wedding dress must have arrived.
Okay.
But that was in the other house, and obviously it's been got rid of since, I mean, 1988, it's a bit a long time. But I found in my wardrobe, I still have my outfit.
Really?
Upstairs? I couldn't believe it.
And is it looking as fine as you remembered it?
Yes, it does, yeah. I haven't tried it on. I got two built-in wardrobes, and it was hiding in there in a cover.
Right.
I hadn't realised quite why I'd still got it. I don't know.
And what colour was it?
Blue.
Right.
Yeah, because, as I say, it was not a too vivid blue. It wasn't a pale, washed-out blue. It's
And that's, has that got a Elizabeth Pax label in it?
Yes.
Because when they were doing the alterations, they sewed something in. And
yeah, that was it. So that was the one that I had to have altered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, that is great. That making people feel, obviously, a wedding is a very special day. So for people to have that experience from the start to the non-stressful delivery of the ironed garment.
Absolutely. And as I say, Mrs. Pack was always around. I mean, I remember she used to park her car under the veranda piece at the back. And even though she was what one would call retirement age gone, she just was there every day.
And your impression of her was, because I think some of the staff were sort of fearful's too strong. Healthy form of respect for her.
Yes.
Because I think she could be, we're very precise on what she wanted.
Absolutely.
Had a vision.
Yes. But it was all done in a very sort of quiet, genteel manner. The whole issue, everybody there. You know, I can remember quite a few. There was one lady that nearly always served downstairs. And I can remember the one that was often and most often in the dress. But because Molly was there, you know, I sort of, she would take me under her wing, which was very nice. Yes, like I say, it was a shame when that closed down.
Did the people that you were in there regularly, did they get to know your name? Were they?
Probably not. I don't know.
Maybe because you knew
Molly. But Molly obviously knew who I was. I mean, because I saw it dancing as well. She was still, she then had a bad hip. And she was still there working, but she had a stick. I think she was suggesting that she was supposed to be having an op. I don't know whether she ever did. Because it sort of all packed, everything sort of almost closed down.
What were your thoughts over that time when Pax in Cross Street did close?
Mm.
What were your thoughts during that time of the shop?
What, when it went?
When it was coming up for closing time and then closed.
Well, it was just sort of the way everything was going, wasn't it, really? Because Fowler's had gone. Because they had that fire, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I was trying desperately to think, where was it they moved to? It was somewhere in Cross Street. While they were having the building redone, and then they went back into where they, next door to Pax, where French Frank's, you know, well, it's now Witherspoon's, isn't it?
Wasn't that where the fire was?
I think the fire was there, actually.
Okay. And that's how they got to build that building that's now the pub, whatever it's called, the Witherspoon's. Maybe the other one moved to, there's a DeBell, what was a DeBell shop?
Oh, yes.
On a crossroads, on the corner of a crossroads. Got a vague feeling they might have gone there. But I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, because the DeBells that I used to go in was the one in Shanklin. And of course I had a DeBells in Newport, which ended up more in carpets and Well, they had two places in Newport, didn't they? Because they had the carpets and furniture, which still goes under the name of De Bell's, apparently.
I think that might have closed down now, that one. I think it might have done.
Yeah. Well, the shop's still there selling stuff.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But whether it's still under the same ownership, I got no idea. And I tend not to go into Newport very much. But I know I used to shop in De Bell's in Shanklin because the other one went. And as I say,
That was a department store.
yeah. Because I have a Highland outfit and my tartan that I chose was from there.
Okay.
So I had a skirt made up from there. And that was the one in Shanklin.
So as far as Pax in Cross Street, when that was coming up for shutting down, do you have any memories around that at all?
Well, I can just remember the fact of going in when things, when they were closing down, as regards gradually the rooms closed down. And then eventually everything was just downstairs. The cafe had gone. Because again, you went up the back stairs or down the back stairs into the cafe. But I used to go up the main staircase because it was a good way of obviously looking at the clothes that were up there before I went into the cafe. Yeah, and gradually, as I say, it closed right down until they'd just got the few things downstairs.
So that's quite a strange from being, well, being the whole
Yeah.
building to then being I mean, that building's substantial, but it must have felt quite odd going in there and seeing it shrinking down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great shame.
And did it just feel like that was the time for that thing,
Did
or?
it? I was just wondering, some of the clothes they had in the very last instance downstairs, did the family do that?
Don't know. You mean recently, or when they were shutting down?
Yes, that's when they were shutting down. Because a few things were bought when they'd already closed most of the building down.
Okay.
Because they'd have something on the stairs which blocked it off. And then there were some clothes that were renewed, in other words, a season, for about, I don't know if it was a couple of years. I know I did buy one item from there then, but there was basically no choice, and everything just went. And I must admit, I don't think I went in the last few months.
What was the con? Was there much of a contrast from shopping previously to then going there when you went there the last time?
I don't really remember very much, sort of. I was trying to think. I can't even remember the year they actually closed down. You've got that, haven't you?
I probably somewhere in my head. I haven't got it at my fingertips, I'm afraid.
Well, they've been closed, what, 10 years or more now?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think it was 2012. That's the figures in my head. I'm not sure if it's right or not.
Yeah, I was trying to think when I last really bought, I got a couple of evening dresses from there and one or two other things. So I had something different each year for these other dudes. And then I'd have various tops and things from them. And then, of course, I've still got a summer top that I still wear that I got bought from there. And that's still going strong. And that was one of the things you would find downstairs.
And so about the coffee bean and the social scene around that was literally Friday, Saturday morning was your meeting up point, was it?
Yeah, but I mean, we used to be there on a lot of Saturdays. And funnily enough, the other week, I bumped into somebody in Busy Bee in the cafe. And we looked at each other. Oh my gosh, we haven't seen each other for years. She was the one I used to meet in. Well, I didn't meet her personally to sit with her or anything, but we knew her because we met her through bridge, actually, because my husband and I had started playing bridge. And she played bridge, and she always used to meet her husband in there. So we'd just say, hello, how are you, sort of thing. And then, blow me, I went, and knowing that you were coming, it was really strange. I saw her, and I hadn't seen her for ages, probably since COVID. And that's when I said to my, now I said, you can help me, I said, because you used to go in. I said, what was Molly's surname? Well, obviously, she must have been a local because she knew Molly's maiden name and her surname.
Right.
So I got that.
Had the full history.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
So I wonder if you had not been thinking about the fact that we were going to get together.
Mm.
I mean, the brain is an incredible thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely.
So whether that being present in your mind then made you... You might have been in rooms with her at other times, but just not have that at the front of your mind.
Yeah, well, I knew there was someone I could ring up in the Caledonia Society who's been there as long as I have and longer. She would know who exactly... And she's local, born and bred. She would know exactly who I was talking about. And I was going to ask her. And that blew me. I bumped into this other...
Right.
Lady, and
did she have any stories or from the sort of
Immediately the coffee bean.
Oh yeah,
about seeing us there, and she was with her husband and seeing us there on a very regular basis, and the fact we would just have a bit of chat about bridge, because as I say, her husband didn't play bridge, she did, and yeah, that was how we first knew her, and. Yeah, she was saying about how she missed PAX. And, well, it was just sort of a place in Ryde that you like going to.
What was the food and fare like there then?
Sorry?
What did they offer you in the cafe?
Well, there'd be snacky type lunches. Like a bit of salad, side salad and a quiche and, you know, that sort of thing. Or something on toast. But we didn't have that. We always went in for just a coffee mid-morning.
And a pastry? Or
we might have a scone, yes. Or a pastry.
So did you know James, who ran the Coffee Bean for a while?
No, okay. It was two women that we knew more than anybody, anything.
Do you remember their names?
No, I can't. No, I could see them to this day. Because
mm-hmm.
I must have a refill with coffee. They come along and do that
right.
At the table.
Included in the price.
I don't remember actually.
Okay.
Isn't it funny? That's something I don't remember.
Yeah, the scones, the delivery of scones, was something he was talking about. About having different suppliers or going...
I'm just wondering whether we actually had... we used to have tea cakes, okay. Toasted tea cakes. I think that was probably the one we had more of, was the toasted tea cakes.
And how many people, how many tables were in the Coffee Bean?
Well, the room was like this, with a piece that went out, because that piece that went out was where the built up, where the back stairs went down. So there were two tables, a table in there,
mm-hmm.
And there's a table there and a table there, and then two little ones, and then you go off into the main piece.
The main building?
Part where the cafe was.
Oh.
And...
That was quite substantial then.
They had about three tables going that way, and you've got another little piece, and then into the shop where the clothes were.
Right. So that's sort of getting for 10 tables
yes.
then.
And then they used to have a table, when you got the stairs there, like there, they had the counter. And then they used to have a table here with all the different cakes and things in under their domes, where you can obviously pick and choose what you wanted. Yeah, I guess I've got quite a picture memory, actually. That's how I do remember things.
James was saying about one time one of the customers came in and ordered beans on toast, but then meticulously removed the beans from their sort of their shells and just left all of the... It just sounds incredibly detailed and hard to do. I've never thought of cutting a baked bean out of its shell.
Oh, it's gracious.
Always seems like just one thing rather than something you separate. But these are the strange things we remember, aren't they?
I can just say, so certain of the women that worked there in the coffee bean, and we got to know them quite well. They'd more or less know what we were going to have, and we, you know. And of course, everybody paid in cash. Like, don't ask me what the price of the coffee was, I can't remember. But we all paid in cash.
It was good quality coffee, was it?
I don't remember the prices of them.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about how much coffee in England has changed over the last 30 years.
Well, we had coffee. You didn't... Maybe coffee beans when you're in packs. I mean, you didn't have all these different varieties of coffees that we have now.
It was just poured out of the cold... what do they call it? Yeah, percolated.
Yes, and you didn't have all these machines either. I mean, things have just drastically changed, haven't they? Marty, we didn't have the hygiene either, I suppose, that we should have now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something I'd notice very much as I cruise, and England is a very dirty place.
Oh, interesting.
When you've been to other countries. The litter, and also obviously on board ship. I mean, you go in certain cafes and you sit down and look at the table and it's filthy, you know, it's sort of...
Right, yeah. And it's only by leaving England or the island or wherever it is that you get to notice there's a difference between these places.
Well, I mean, I think I've been to quite a lot of countries in Italy, it's only Europe. But there just doesn't seem to be the litter around. I think that's more noticeable than how you're actually served in a cafe or something.
Mm-hmm.
The countryside itself is cleaner than what we have. Even, you know, it doesn't really matter where you go. I can't think of a country that... same as us.
Mm.
It's a great shame.
Is that something that's happened over the last how many years, do you think, there?
Well, I've noticed it sort of ever since I started cruising, which goes back to about 1900. 1900? I was trying to think when my first cruise was. Was that 1996, 97?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to Norway. We went by car, took the car over. That was in early 1990s. And of course, that place is beautifully clean. And I did even notice it then, you know, there, how clean everywhere was.
With the... One thought on this project is how much shopping's changed, and you've covered that a few times. I'm just trying to think, it's how would you explain for example, your grandson, how old's your grandson?
Well, my grandson would shop online.
How old is he?
He doesn't deal with cash at all.
Yeah. How old is he?
30, in his 30s, early 30s.
Right.
Doesn't have cash.
And does he use a plastic or on his phone or it's a card?
Oh, it's plastic actually at the moment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see eye to eye. And banks online, doesn't have cash. I assume, I mean, there might be the odd thing he buys in a shop, but it's not particularly.
It'd be mostly online and stuff turns up at the door. And do you think that people who have that experience now, I mean, what that gives is enormous choice.
Well, I mean, when you look back at before this happened, like it is now, when we used to do mail delivery things, and then, of course, how to get rid of it if it didn't fit. I mean, I can remember times trying it out and finding that, yes, I like the look of it in the picture, but when it arrived, it wasn't what I thought it was, it didn't fit me, and I got to get rid of it. I did a, that really put the mockers on me doing anything online anyway, because would it actually suit me, the clothing I'm looking at? I far prefer to try something on. I see myself in it. I know you can have it all delivered. I mean, I've got a friend whose daughter will say, "Oh, yes, you were talking about you needed new this, that." And she said to me, "Do you never believe it?" She said, "This door went, and now this box with five different dresses in, choose a dress." So I said, "Oh, well, that's very nice." I mean, I would hate to shop like that. It's just not my scene. I like trying to keep all the old places open. And on the Isle of Wight, we do get certain places that really just want cash. Yes, you're going to get places that don't want cash. They won't deal with cash. But and I think what helped everybody along, of course, was COVID.
Right, to do online shopping.
To do online shopping, no cash. So I just hope that in my day and age, I don't have a cashless society. I mean, one of the hard things is, at my age, we go to lots of little clubs and things. Well, they're not going to pay out for a machine to take a card. They want cash. And that leads you on to the banks then, doesn't it?
What do you think the advantage of the cash is over card then?
Well, I think for when you go to all these clubs, where if they're organising a club, they've got to pay out to have the machine for you to use your card. Well, they may not be that type of club that's profitable enough to do that. So we've got to have cash.
Is there something about the having what you can spend in front of you as well,
Well, that's one
rather
of the good things. The thing that these contactless cards, very good if you haven't got the fingers to do all the numbers. Very good if you want to be quick. What happens when you drop your card and you don't realise you have? Somebody else finds it. I mean, I was behind somebody in a supermarket and they hadn't realised they'd dropped their card. And it was a contactless one. I have had a card hacked into in the last year. It
Oh.
wasn't a contactless one. And when I went to the bank, because it wasn't being, whereas I tried to use it and I couldn't, so I went to the bank, we still had it in Ryde at the time, and she came back with two A4 pieces of paper with all the times my card had been used.
Wow.
Not worked, not available, not available, not available. It had the first six times, and then the bank had picked it up and
Wow.
cancelled.
Wow.
So I lost 6p.
Right.
Because apparently that's what they do, they try it, don't they, just for a penny or something,
Okay.
which I didn't know.
Right.
The actual, it had been hacked into in a big insurance company.
Wow.
And they contacted me and dealt with me personally. All the places I needed, I owed money. I had my car tax going out, and I had all my. I'd just come back from holiday. That hadn't cleared, of course, because it happened to be all that day. all these things. They were wonderful with me. They actually said, "Oh, wait till you get your new card." You know, there was no hassle, which is lovely. But the firm that where I had been hacked into, they gave me compensation. So I lost 6p and gained a few hundred.
Right.
You know, which was lovely.
Yeah.
But,
I guess if you had lost that cash, you wouldn't have had that.
No.
So there's sort of pros and cons with cash.
Well, yes. I mean, I do use my car quite a lot.
So apart from the card, what would as more differences that, if you had to summarise the differences to somebody who was a younger person? What's been lost and what's been gained, I guess, one way of thinking.
Well, I think what you've lost is to being able to actually account for the amount of money you're spending. Because if you've got it or you haven't, if it's cash.
Yeah.
But then again, the gain side of it is you haven't got to think about going and getting, drawing money out from somewhere. Where the banks are all disappearing.
Yeah.
As long as you know where there's a cash point that you can use, you know, you're going to be stuck for cash.
And the shopping experience more widely on say...
Well, if I'm doing a lot of shopping, I tend to use my card. If it's something under £10, I tend to use cash.
I think retailers are grateful for that as well.
Yeah.
Because there's no charges on cash. Mm. Well, there are charges on trying to put your money into the bank.
Yeah.
Particularly if there aren't any branches nearby. As you mentioned, you know, that's sort of disappearing.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine didn't go and draw out money in a certain place I told her to. But she didn't know about it. She used a shop where she found out she suddenly got bank charges. Which I don't really understand.
No,
but I said, well, you only had to go a short distance away and you could have just said. I still prefer seeing people face to face and discussing things with them, like in banks, etc.
I guess, I mean, where there is that shopping experience left is, Hearst always springs to my mind, on the sort of PAX level of, you know, the people who work in there, over the years they get to know you and know what you're looking
that's
for.
Right.
There is that high level of staff to customer ratio as well, which is something these days, I guess, in the pursuit of profits, is that we end up with...
Well, now it comes to me nowadays, people don't know you. They really haven't got much time to spend with you. So many of them, particularly if they're in a shop where... we'll call it more modern shop, where you just got the tills where you pay. I mean, even like Marks and Spencer's, they're just behind the thing, and they're just...
Well, now they're making you do it for yourself.
Basically, doing it for yourself. And the other issue is, if you're trying to buy something, even in somewhere like Marks and Spencer's, to actually get anyone assistant to help you, sometimes you have to look quite far and wide. And they're not very keen to go and look, so they've got anything else in stock or anything.
Right.
You know, it's, well, there's what there is.
With one thing I didn't ask you about was the PAX fashion shows. Did you ever go to any of those?
No, I didn't, no. No, I didn't really know much about them, to be quite honest.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you think we should have covered?
I didn't think so.
No. Okay. Well, that's been brilliant. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. There's lots of good detail there and that whole sort of shopping experience that you had with your daughter's dress. I meant to ask you, when did you let on to your daughter to know that you'd seen the dress that she got beforehand?
I didn't.
You didn't ever, right?
I did eventually.
Okay.
When she chose it.
Okay.
Molly and I both started laughing, and she says, "What's this?" I said, "You really like that?" "Yes," she said, "this is the one I'm having." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yes." I said, "Well, I did come in here a few days ago." I'm glad you like it. I first of all said, well, that's the one I would have chosen.
Uh-huh.
And then I let on.
That's very good. Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time.